Grow your business today. Identity has helped business owners across the country and around the world develop and scale their global reach. Discover a new way of doing business. Discover Identity at discoveridentity.com.
Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh.
Wait, are you a pig?
No, I'm not a pig. I'm Peppa Pig.
What the heck is that?
It's
You've
a
never
show.
Seen Peppa Pig?
No.
Our kids are too old for Peppa Pig.
Ruth will watch Peppa Pig.
Is this
non-stop.
A cartoon?
It's
yes.
a cartoon.
It's
yeah.
a little cartoon about a pig family.
I like Angelina Ballerina.
They watch that one too.
I come from the way back where they had real cartoons they drew with their pencils and
colored
markers.
Colored them. Looney Tunes and
Voltron.
Oh, I wasn't allowed to watch Voltron.
I wasn't either.
It was demonic. Or He-Man.
Or any of those was so
He-Man
true.
Was
or
a
the
little.
Smurfs, yeah. because the Smurfs
Gargamel.
Are also demonic.
Yeah, right? So much wizardry.
But I loved the Looney Tunes and I loved Animaniacs.
Oh, yeah.
Animaniacs.
Hello, nurse.
It's time for Animaniacs.
Well, when our kids were little, I found my new favorite show ever. It's still my favorite kids show. It's Australian.
Australian, mate.
It's from Australia.
Well, then, let's put another shrimp on the barbie.
It's so weird.
It's called Dirt Girl World.
Dirt Girl World.
Oh, it's so addicting.
It is the creepiest cartoon you've ever seen. It's like a cartoon drawing of people with giant heads, but then they put real people's faces on them.
No, real people's eyes.
Yeah, it's totally creepy.
And their eyes are like all crazy. They like go around in circles.
And it's all about like, you know, there's bugs and gardens and dirt girl.
Discovering
and,
things. And there's characters like they've got a worm character and different
Our
things.
Our kids totally freak out every time Clint puts it on because they think it's so creepy.
Is it more of like a adult cartoon?
No.
No, not at all.
But it might be made by people who have
done drugs.
Substances.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're in some stage of recovery.
Yeah.
I remember watching Ren and Stimpy whenever I was living not with Jesus.
Yeah.
Yes. And not just for Saturday anymore.
Those shows are definitely influenced by some kind of substance.
Occasionally Clint will pull up clips of Beavis and Butthead.
Hey. Beavis.
But they're so repulsive.
Yeah, you got to really screen those when you show them to kids.
Just don't show them to kids.
Yeah, they're not appropriate.
You can't really screen them at all.
No, I'm a big fan of Elmo. You just can't beat Sesame Street. It is legendary.
La 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 la, la 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 la, yeah. Elmo song.
Elmo found his way into pop culture.
Even Levi, our youngest, I mean, that kid was into Elmo. He had like 3 Elmo dolls, Elmo pajamas, Elmo shoes, Elmo shirts. Like, Elmo was his love language.
My oldest daughter, we bought her an Elmo doll when she was maybe 1.5. She still has it. She's in college now.
Mm-hmm.
And she has the Elmo with her.
Aww.
And it's like, it's really just like a matted, nasty head with one eyeball. And then just like tattered strands of fabric hanging from the severed head.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's pretty bad.
Levi had one that had a heart on its hand, and when you put it to its mouth, it would go, Elmo loved you.
That's so sweet.
That's creepy.
I feel kind of bad now because I think we got rid of it. I know.
What?
We're terrible
Mom
parents.
Fail.
Mom fail?
Sorry.
Co-parenting fail.
Oh. I wouldn't have gotten rid of it.
Whatever.
Who threw it out?
Mom fail.
Well, I mean, kids shows are fun. There's a ton of them that we could talk about. We could do this topic like for the whole show.
Perpetual.
It's awesome. But yeah, t- Today, we're going to be discussing authentic artistry. Our guest on the show today is Chris Hoisington from Brothers McClurg. Stick around. It's going to be a great show.
I am a daughter of heaven. I am the apple of God's eye. I am strong and I am powerful. God planned me before the foundations of the world. He spoke me into existence. God started my story and He will finish it. Kingdom creativity lives inside me. I was created with heaven's destiny. I am a problem solver and I was made to change the world. With God, there is nothing that is impossible for me. I am on fire.
Empowering women to thrive. Ladies, catch an all-new episode of the On Fire podcast tomorrow at onfirepodcast.com.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, we are going to sit down with Dustin Smith and Malcolm Duplessis-III. I tried to say it in the authentic South African accent.
It's hard. And he can speak that language that has the click sound. Yeah, he's in here going
Zulu. Click,
click. Yeah, that was impressive, man. And then I was like, how do you say your name? He goes,
he's like,
and then he was like, Duplessis-III. I'm like, that's very interesting.
So it's Duplessis.
Duplessis.
Kind of like Duplantis.
Nope.
I think it's spelled the same way.
Really, really not.
Very heavy accent there as well.
When you're from Louisiana.
Anyway.
Yeah. So Dustin and Malcolm are both from Integrity. Friends of ours. We had them here in our community a few weeks ago, and we sat down and we talked about the new We Are Worship tour coming to Joplin, releasing Sounds of Our City. Mm. And that's going to be the topic of discussion next week. Today on the show, we have Chris Hoisington from Brothers McClurg going to be on with us talking today about authentic artistry.
Mm-hmm. Haley, you and I were just talking about this, and I love the statement that you made that caught me so off guard about not just to create art that gets people saved. And that's been a stigma in the church. Like, is your art going to get someone saved? You know, mm-hmm. I don't even know where that came from.
Well, I think it's because people feel like there's no value for their creative expression or artistry unless it has the agenda of getting souls saved. So then it's sort of devaluing creativity and artistry, which is silly to me because God is first a creator. That is how He displayed Himself first in our, you know, biblical history, is as a creator.
Yeah, I mean, creativity is, God birthed that inside of our hearts, you know, gave us some kind of creative idea to express, and however you express that, you are ultimately revealing the heart of God inside of you. And people can encounter God through authentic artistry.
Yeah.
What's the quote that Stephen makes, our friend?
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
Look at that. You said it just like him.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
It's in our intro.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And Ailey used the word value. And I think we have devalued creativity to the point where it only fits into the agenda of the altar call, you know? And I think that's a huge mistake because God is creator. And even when we look back at the Old Testament, when God is giving instructions on how to build the Ark of the Covenant, the Bible says that He anointed someone for artisanship and creativity. Like, He actually put His Spirit on this guy for the sake of creativity. Like, He valued it that much. And He values beauty and creativity that much that it's actually a part of Him, you know, resting on someone for that work. And so I think it's super important. And we're kind of doing this, you know, we're kind of doing this in our community, placing a high value on creativity, placing a high value on artistry. And frankly, maybe the Midwest is not the best place, or maybe it is the best place because it's so devalued that for so long. We have a great value for hard work, like go out there, buck some hay bales, you know, dig a trench, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just referring back to my childhood.
Be a man. But,
yeah, be a man. But when someone wants to be creative, artistic, that's like, oh, well, you need to get a real job, sweetie.
Boy, put that guitar down and come help me change this wall.
Well, and you know, there is some validity in, as a parent, wanting your children or your community or people to not necessarily fall into the category of like the starving artist. But I think that there's ways to make your artistry sustainable. There are people out there who teach on it. Matt Tommy teaches on it.
Yeah. Is that your friend, the basket weaver?
Yeah, he's a basket weaver.
The Kudzu Vine basket weaver. Well, we mentioned this before on a couple shows ago, but Expedia recently released a list of the most artistic cities in the United States, and Joplin was listed as that. And the cool thing, it's so cool. Joplin, one of the most creative artistic cities in the country. But the thing about creativity, especially creativity in the kingdom, is that when it happens, there's no boundaries in it. Like, God is doing creative things in Joplin. Okay, well, it's only the church. I mean, that creativity, it spilled out, way out of the four walls of the church. And we have got communities in Joplin that are rallying around creativity and arts and culture. And it's really fun to see that spark come alive. And that's heaven sent, man. That's good stuff. And just because we have a whole sector of town going, we're putting a lot of value on creativity, does not devalue what we're doing or doesn't make it wrong. Or, you know, because people can get that idea in the church. But I think that if we start valuing creativity, we'll start to reap the rewards of creativity.
Well, and I think the act of creation in any form, whether it is in art or even in just problem solving, is a natural way that we are connected to the Holy Spirit. It's a way for our God DNA to really be activated and start to operate and shine.
So authentic artistry, what is it? It's experimentation. It's really exploring what's in your heart, what God has planted there, and then letting it harvest in some form of expression, whatever that form of expression is. And that can or may not influence others.
Yeah.
But it can be probably one of the most influential tools that we possess here on planet Earth.
Yeah. And I think it's a part of discovering who we are. You know, so many people have no idea who they are because they've never had permission to let that creativity be explored, as you put, and come out. And you end up with old men and women who have never lived. You know, and so we get back to that word authentic. It's discovering who you are and then partnering with God in that.
And that's the only way it can be authentic, because there's so many people trying to be photocopies of other people.
Yep.
You know, and that's not real artistry. That's a sham.
It's sad.
Well, someone who's doing this very, very well, they're up in New York State recording songs.
You always got to throw that Southern thing in there.
I don't know.
Which is not upstate New York. That's like...
Right. Old Bear Records. Diabetes. That's what I think.
And everyone's going to know what you mean by that.
I see the big mustache. He's like the spokesperson for Old Bear. Old Bear Records. Are you paying too much for your musical enjoyment?
That's so funny. That's awesome.
Chris Hoisington will be joining us when we come back, continuing the conversation about authentic artistry. Discover the number one biggest mistake you could be making online as a business owner. Get an exact step-by-step process for building a successful online presence. Identify solutions that will take you from where you are to where you want to be, and develop a custom roadmap for your success. Grow your business today. Identity has helped business owners across the country and around the world develop and scale their global reach. Identity empowers businesses to thrive by offering professional web design, programming, film, video, marketing, advertising, business growth tools, and more, all based on proven strategies that work in every aspect of your brand. Discover a new way of doing business. Discover Identity at discoveridentity.com.
Is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we're going to be sitting down with Dustin Smith and Malcolm Tuplis III as we talk about the sound of a city. It's going to be a great show. Today, we've been discussing authentic artistry, and it's exciting to have on the program from Brothers McClurg, Chris Hoisington.
All right, today we're so excited to have one of the guys from the band Brothers McClurg, Chris Hoisington, with us. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, we've been getting to know each other a little bit over the past few months here. And, you know, I really value what you guys bring to the table as far as creativity. I think you got a like heart with us as far as, you know, finding sounds. And you guys have got a great production value with everything you do. And so I want to talk about some of those things. But before we do, give us a little history. Tell us about yourself and maybe about how you got together with Brothers McClurg and how that all started.
I was raised up in it. My parents sang Southern gospel and traveled around the country. And we were 7 and 8 years old, something like that. And then when they got off the road, they got jobs in churches and started leading worship in church and youth group and kind of writing songs for church, for the college ministry that we were a part of at the time. That kind of led into a career in it and got signed a couple of years later. Wasn't really looking for it and seeking it out. Just kind of happened and just started going on the road after that. And that was probably 6 years ago. Just every year kind of grows a little bit more. Kind of was just real organic how it all happened. Yeah, I guess it's kind of the short answer.
Yeah, cool. So tell us, how you got the name Brothers McClurg? How did that come about?
My mom's maiden name is McClurg. The gospel group they had was called McClurg Family Singers. Ah. And so when it came time to name our group, when we signed with Integrity 6 years ago, we decided to name it Brothers McClurg to kind of carry on the legacy that they started. And yeah. So that's kind of how the name came about, even though we're not McClurgs. Our last name is Hoisington, but,
yeah,
you know, just carrying on what our family started. So,
yeah, that's cool. Well, you guys have got something called Old Bear Records. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about your approach to creativity. You guys have a fantastically unique sound and a creative sound. So just, you know, talk to our listeners who are creatives out there and who are, you know, in the producing realm and, you know, musicians, and just kind of give us a little peek inside your head when you guys are approaching all these, you know, musical projects and how you think about music and creativity.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's more just, I think that for the last maybe 15 years or 20 years, we've gotten this mentality that you have to go to Nashville in order to make something happen, or, you know, you have to kind of do your album there. And I think Nashville's good, and I think it still works for some people. But I think in the last 5-10 years, we've seen that, you know, worship is kind of, it always has been, but it's kind of, it goes beyond a certain thing or a certain sound. I mean, there's a lot of times you can hear songs and know that it's been done in Nashville or it has a certain polish to it. And I think in the last probably 5 years, people have started to branch out from that and just kind of doing their own thing in a more grassroots kind of way for their own community and their own region, realizing that, you know, it's not just about the songs, but it's about the sound of what you're doing to put a lot of emphasis on the songs, which is extremely important. The other avenue of it is making really beautiful sounds, which is part of our expression of worship as well. And I think there are people that are seeking that out and wanting that and craving that for themselves in the way that they make music and worship, for it to feel more like an organic thing and just trying things and kind of developing their own sound, you know. And I kind of realized, and I say this to a lot of musicians, that if you're an independent musician, you know, you're going to stand out more being yourself than trying to fit your music into a certain format or mold. Fitting your worship into a certain sound, to think that more people are going to like it if you fit it into a certain sound. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's false. You know, I don't think the Holy Spirit has made us to be that way. And I think you see it more and more with movements like yourselves, just kind of rising up around the country that have their own thing and their own sound kind of happening. So encouraging musicians to say, you know, if you're not on a major label and you don't have major label publishing and a guy who can basically push your song through the noise to get heard, you know, alongside Chris Tomlin's songs and other songs, you're better off kind of just being yourself and making whatever you actually enjoy listening to. I think artists stand out more doing that when you're an independent versus trying to make it kind of sound similar to other things. And I'm not saying those other things are bad things. I just don't think that the Lord is wants everybody to walk down the same path with that, musically speaking. So,
yeah,
in a lot of ways, that's kind of how Old Bear has kind of developed its mantra and kind of its mission. You know, I grew up listening to a lot of records, Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, and Radiohead, and
yeah,
Smashing Pumpkins, even bands like Delirious, you know, in the Christian circuit. None of their records sounded the same, and it seemed like they were always on a progression, you know, to find themselves and find the truest, you know, what they wanted to say in that point in their lives and what was important to them at that time. And it also reflected in the way that the albums sounded. And so I kind of grew up realizing that usually bands' third or fourth album is like their best record, and the albums kind of leading up to it were just formulating that sound that they were going to get to. And so taking that idea into sacred music and worship music, just like the Psalms are kind of prayers to the Lord, just kind of taking that mentality and music of, hey, we, you know, this isn't supposed to be a commercialized thing as much as it is you're pouring out your heart. I guess my mentality of it is like, I lead worship in a lot of small churches. I worked in a couple small churches. I've worked in big churches. But ultimately, if the people trust you in the congregation, they'll kind of be willing to go along with you on a journey or even sing songs that might be a little bit out of their what they're used to. Just like a pastor preaching sermons and speaking from his heart, the Lord's put this on my heart, sharing it with the people. I think worship has that same effect. Mm. I don't think everything is called to be that. But I do think that there is a lot of people out there that are craving for worship to kind of, for things to kind of have their own voice. I mean, I'm friends with a lot of musicians that write, you know, big worship songs and big songs. And even a lot of them will complain about the sound of things, you know? And it's like, well, you know, you can be a part of the solution. Things don't have to be that way. You can be part of just kind of branching out and following your heart, following the Spirit's taking you to kind of create something new.
Yeah, that's really good, man. I wondered if you have maybe one or two things that you could encourage people with that are kind of starting down this path. That, you know, there's always the potential to be enamored by the biggest, polished, most, you know, shiniest worship style, right, and sound out there. But for those who are just like getting started, give us a one or two practical examples to kind of get going down that path.
I think the biggest thing is kind of knowing what you've come out of, you know, what you were raised listening to, what you were raised enjoying. You know, I was raised hearing my parents sing Southern gospel. I grew up as a teenager thinking it was the worst thing in the world. You know, it was just not for me. But in the last 5 years, I've gone back to things that I enjoyed when I was younger. And you start to remember things as an adult about your childhood that you couldn't remember as a kid. So you kind of are able to draw from influences and memories in a different way. And so for me, it was like, hey, I would love to take gospel music and somehow bring it into the sacred vein a little bit more. It used to be a thing 30, 40 years ago. That's kind of disappeared in the church. And so I've just kind of followed my heart with that, even though, you know, it's not for everybody. And so I think when you start singing from your heart and you start singing from, you know, maybe you grew up hearing your dad listening to jazz records, or you grew up, your parents, you know, were really into Woodstock and kind of your dad would play a bunch of vinyl. I mean, I have friends that were like that, would play the Beatles or would play, you know, different influences, not just, you know, Phil Kagi and all sorts of stuff. When you start to kind of just draw upon what that can give you, you're drawing not just upon what you hope to sound like, but you're drawing from what just kind of naturally comes out of you, rather than looking to Nashville or looking to anybody else to try to tell you what you should sound like. I think the difference between worship music in the 60s and 70s is there was no formula, right?
Wow.
You had guys like Phil Kagi and Larry Norman and all these guys getting saved off of drugs. And they were writing songs that had no formula. They were writing songs that had minor chords in them and just really cool recordings and just kind of Rich Mullins. You know, I mean, the guy wrote great worship songs, but he was also an artist. He wasn't just a chorus praise songwriter. He was a guy who had other things to say and prayers that needed to be heard. I believe that's the same for worship artists in general. I think worship artists in general don't need to feel so boxed into one sound. I mean, when I listen to a Chris Tomlin record, it's mainly to learn the one song that's really popular that everybody's doing in their church, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to have 10 huge songs on CCLI. It never happens. So instead of trying to do that 10 times in a row, what are the other things that God's placed upon your heart? What are the prayers that he wants you to sing that maybe aren't meant to be top 10 CCLI songs? Maybe they're meant to reach just your community and some guy in Iowa who that song completely changes his life and makes him, you know, turn away from addiction in his life and things like that. Songs, when they touch more of a personal core, but you're singing out of this outcry or overflow of your life, it touches people on an even more of an intimate level.
Mm.
It might not touch the masses, like, you know, 10,000 people singing the song, but you'll have people reach out to you and say, man, that one song, it's probably would be considered the B-side on the record. That song really spoke to me.
Yeah.
That song really meant something to me. That song really helped me.
Yeah.
And I think the model of where Christian music was 30 years ago, we could still learn from a lot of that. And you had groups like Jesus Music and Jesus People and all these movements that were just super pure and super honest about what they were doing. And, you know, the Lord blessed it. You know, it was very organic, you know. So I see music in a lot of ways going back to a very organic place, because I'm noticing more and more people are turning away from the sound that they feel like they're supposed to make and more just turning into the sound that the Lord has really placed upon their hearts.
Wow.
So really at Old Bear, we just try to help people tune into that sound and tune out the other voices and say, what are the things that you love? What are the things that musically and lyrically that you really want to talk about? And normally you'll have people light up with certain things that maybe are less, wouldn't fit in an arena setting of a worship time, but just something that the Lord has really placed on their hearts. And I think the beauty we have now of music being so accessible, whereas it wasn't 30 years ago, is that you can create niches of music where maybe it's not meant to touch a million people. Maybe it's meant for 10 or 20,000 people that really need what Old Bear has to say. They really, I've been praying for records that sound like what Old Bear is doing, but mm-hmm. they still love the Lord. But it's like, man, this music does not pull any punches. It's raw. It's filled with creativity. It's not trying to water any of that down. It's not trying to sell me anything. It's just trying to be what it is, and it honors the Lord. And the Lord deserves that. You know what I mean? He doesn't, he doesn't need, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and I'm only using Old Bear as an example, but I think there's a lot of other movements out there that are doing similar things and are making an impact. And I've kind of realized that maybe I'm not meant to be, you know, we were on a major label and the first 3 years of being on that label, it was really hard not to compare yourself to Paul Balazs,
wow,
who I love and is a friend, but to not be like, you know, I had so many friends that I was getting signed with that they're like, you know, I'm just trying to write songs like Paul Balazs. And for some reason I had this other part of my life that just loved great music. You know, I loved like the bands that I was mentioning earlier. And I loved that each album told a story. I loved that the songs didn't sound typical and didn't sound like, you know, it had its own thing. And so I kept wrestling with that in my own life, being like, well, am I wrong for thinking these things? And I love Paul Balazs and I love what the Lord has used him to accomplish in the church, but it doesn't mean that the Lord's using me in the same ways or is calling me to walk down the same road.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll leave you with this story. I don't know why it came to me, but I think it might bless somebody that hears it. But, you know, we were on this major label and I still love Integrity. They've made great records. I love the people that they've signed, but for whatever reason, it just didn't really pan out the way that I thought it was going to pan out. And so I was kind of left being like, well, it's everybody's dream to like get signed to a major label. Why do I just don't really feel like I've arrived? You know, you feel like once you get to that point that it should be the opposite, you know, but over the last 3-4 years, after kind of not being in that same position, kind of starting this independent label and doing Old Bear and doing what we're doing. There are nights when we're out on the road and we're playing in these backcountry churches for, you know, 60 people, and we're playing our kind of gospel tinged folk music. And there are many nights where I still will have to, you know, I think to myself, Lord, why are we here? Like, I've been doing this for 10 years faithfully out on the road. You know, we're doing this. Like, why, you know, you get into the comparison game again of like, well, this guy's doing this, this girl's doing that type of thing. And there was a guy that came up to me at the show afterward, and he goes, I don't know if this means anything to you, but he goes, I feel like the Lord is telling me to tell you that, like, I see like a bow and arrow, and he's shooting you like an arrow to the places he exactly wants you to be. And it was like, the Lord was speaking to me in that moment to say, hey, I have you on a certain path. Maybe your music isn't meant to be for all these other on a huge platform, but you're blessing and you're changing lives on the road that you're on. And I think as worship leaders, that's something we could take away from and say, well, as worship leaders, we're not all called to necessarily write anthemic sounding worship songs. Maybe people are meant to write really soft spoken acoustic guitar picking songs that are meant to help people find peace and hope. But those records aren't going to be on the top of the Billboard charts. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But they are meant to speak life into people, into things that the Lord has sent that word out from heaven through that person's music, you know, and it's not going to go back up until it's completed what he sent it to do. Mm. And so as artists, we have that kind of that mandate to follow our hearts, I think, sometimes. Don't follow an industry, follow what you feel like the Lord has placed in you and what he's doing through your local church and that kind of thing.
Yeah, man, it's so good. Well said on that point. Hey, real quick, tell us what you're dreaming about for the future.
I mean, for me personally, like, I'm just loving the mission that I'm on now and the things that God's using us to do with this Old Bear. And I just to continue to connect with like-minded people and see that network kind of web out in the ways that the Lord kind of sees fit. And create that kind of niche that we're talking about, along with other people that are thinking the same way, to kind of help folks worship the Lord that maybe haven't really connected with some of the current stuff that's out there. And that's just the furthering of, I guess, the mission and the dream that's already kind of been placed in me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So good. Well, we want to connect people with you and with Brothers McClure. You guys are currently out on tour. So give us a ways to connect with you guys via website and social media.
Yeah. So we're on Instagram, just Brothers McClurg. We're on Facebook, Brothers McClurg. Our website is brothersmcclurg.com. And that kind of has all the present tour dates that we have so far for 2018. And check it out and come out to one of the events and hang out.
Yeah. Cool. Well, Chris, I really appreciate you taking time to be with us today. You know, mad respect for the way you approach artistry and creativity. It's been really good.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
So good to have our new friend Chris on the program. We're definitely going to be partnering with his community in the future for endeavors to come. Next week, We Are Worship joins us to discuss songs of the city and our topic of discussion, the sound of a city. Join us then.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.